Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm EQMM's editor, Janet Hutchings. As we enter this holiday season, we're pleased to present the reading of a Christmas Eve story that appeared in EQMM's January-February 2020 issue. It's set in the world of radio, a medium that the story's author, Bonnie Hearn Hill, knows well from her own past work experience. Here is the California-based editor and author of 16 highly praised suspense novels reading her story, Feliz Navidad.
Christmas Eve, 1974, and the studio smells of rain. I smile at my invisible and probably grossly overestimated audience and lean into the mic. "Hey folks," I say, "happy holidays to y'all. This is Big Bob Runyon on KMAKE AM with the Carpenters wishing you a Merry Christmas, darling." In Radio Land, every day's a work day. Music cloys a bit more this time of year, but at least it's a break from around-the-clock stuff. Even played once an hour, Jingle Bell Rock can't begin to pull nausea rank on something like What's New, Pussycat, or that Neil Diamond tune Sherry used to love. 3 hours of this shift and six to go. I offered to pull the double so that my boss, Chip, could go do the Christmas Eve thing with Ananda and their kids. Not to mention, I've got nothing to go home to but an apartment even smaller than this studio. There's always the request line, of course, but as any professional jock knows, it has its limitations. I'm a pro, probably one of the few left in AM radio, now that the FMs are in cars and our ratings are in the toilet. Ratings or not, the show comes first, and everything else goes to the back burner. I move as fast as I can now, pouring coffee from the scorched pot in the corner, feeling the time left on the song. The coffee tastes as if it were filtered through sandpaper, which it almost was. I had to resort to a double-folded paper towel when I brewed the first pot tonight. Tacky, Sherry would say if she could see me. No class. Got to stop dwelling on her. Must stop relating every thought, every experience to her. That Lucretia McEvil is out of my life. History. Years on the air taught me how to recognize those few seconds when a record's running out. I take a final hit of the coffee, hurry back to my chair, and clamp my cans on just in time. Big Bob Runyon here on a rainy Christmas Eve on KMAKE AM, broadcasting live from the City of Angels, baby. That was the unforgettable Karen Carpenter with Richard hanging around there somewhere. And I have just one wish for this Christmas Eve. I wish I were with YOU. Now let's pick up the pace with an oldie from 1957. Bobby Helms and Jingle Bell Rock. The red light of my phone blinks in a heartbeat rhythm just inches above my right knee. Request line, I think. Christmas Eve. Not a good idea. For a moment, I listen to the rain running down the office roof, and its scent seems closer, more pungent than before. I glance out the pine and bell-trimmed window, making sure Chip closed it earlier. A few wet leaves persist, clinging to the branches of the birch tree despite the rattling wind. They hang in yellow construction paper masses, still vibrant against the flickering lights of the city. I look once more at the phone. It blinks back patiently. In one unplanned jerk, I reach out and grab the receiver. "Merry Christmas," I shout. "Hi, Big Bob. Caroline here." Her voice sings through me. It can't be, but I know it is. "Not that Caroline. The same." I try to decide what to say next, if anything. Can I trust a stranger I met on the request line when I was literally crying in my beer? I need time. "My record's almost running out," I say. "Will you hold?" "Sure." This is what I get for flirting with Caroline on the phone a few nights ago as I sat down here hating the reality of my life. She's one of the walking wounded, I'll bet, or worse, a beauty and a lying Lucretia like Sherry. That was Bobby Helms twanging his way through that old Jingle Bell Rock We've got more of the same waiting just for you, baby. This is Big Bob Runyon, K-making it with you all night on this rainy Christmas Eve with the Jackson 5 and their 1970 hit, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. The phone lies on the counter before me, resting on its side, waiting like a snake. But I am a pro. I'm back, I say. I'm glad. Her voice is just that. No breathy attempts at sexiness like the groupies of the world. So how's your holiday? A little lonely. I told you that my boyfriend left me. That's right. A foggy memory nudges my brain. Your boyfriend, yes. Betrayal, that great unifier, provided our common ground. I'm so sorry you're feeling down, babe, but this is no night to dwell on pain. I don't mean to. It's just that from what you said, I guess you and I are in the same boat, so to speak. I thought perhaps if you aren't really busy. Hold on. I grab the mic and drive my voice down even lower. The Jackson 5, discovered by Diana Ross, the diva herself. And now I know you've been waiting for this one by Elvis. I give them Blue Christmas. When I pick up the phone again, Caroline says only, hi. She's already learned the rhythm in a hurry, as the boss jocks callers did in the 60s. The groupies today can't deal when interrupted in mid-sentence. This chick is different. Against my better judgment, I toy with the idea of checking her out at close range. Big Bob, are you there? Here, there, and everywhere. You have something you'd like to request? What about Feliz Navidad? It's one of my favorites. I pause as I feel the black coffee eat a bitter path through my gut. But I've heard the request before, and I have the stock answer in my boss jock bag of tricks. How about Santa Baby? To sweeten the offer, I add, by Eartha Kitt, of course. I love Eartha Kitt. Play that after Feliz Navidad, why don't you? Don't know if we have it around here, I lie. Hang on for a minute, will you? I turn to my invisible audience just through the clear glass ahead of me. This is Big Bob Runyon sharing the night with you, and that was Elvis. Don't let this be a blue Christmas for you, though, baby. I've got good golly Miss Dolly Parton coming right up. When I pick up the phone once more, I hear only the nasty buzz of a dial tone. Just as well, although I must admit to a pang of disappointment, or maybe it's only the lousy coffee. I settle into my sterile world, and yet I hold the fire of anticipation within me. I still feel the soft, stroking sound of Caroline's voice. Maybe it's time to break out the great Napa Valley sparkler Chip gave me along with my Christmas bonus. Or maybe I should wait to open it, just in case she decides to call back. From the front office, I hear the tinkling of bells. The solid swish of the closing door is followed by footfalls, and finally the appearance of a brunette in the glass outside the control room. She points at the door. I nod vigorously and buzz her in. She bursts into the room and then stops before me. I thought it would be better to just meet in person, but now, well, I feel kind of foolish. I probably shouldn't have come. She's wrapped in a soft camel coat, one of those maxi things, with some kind of fake leopard trim on the wide collar and cuffs. Her dark hair is slicked straight back. Not beautiful, I think, but pretty enough, with large eyes that seem to take in every detail of our surroundings. I'm glad you did. I can already smell her warm, spicy scent invading this cold room. But I don't even know you. Sure you do, I tell her. And I just happen to have an incredible sparkler here. Why shouldn't two lonely people spend the old eve together anyhow? She gives me a quizzical smile and moves closer, as if blown by a gentle wind, and then settles into the office chair, letting the coat relax around her slender frame. The fabric, cashmere, I guess, slides higher along her leg. Her dark eyes dance in the reflection of the old-fashioned bubble lights around the doorway. So you have wine. Were you expecting someone? Not a soul. No way do I want to lie to this woman more than I have to. It was a gift from my boss. A nice boss, she says. He tries. We both do. She's checking me out, I know. The bald spot Sherry hated feels like a cold coin on the top of my head. Beneath the unzipped leather jacket, my shoulders shrink, my waist widens. Rejection rears its ugly head, and I'm glad I've got an excuse to put off talking to her. Hold on now, just for a sec, I say. On come the cans, open goes the mic. I look at her instead of at the empty glass and its invisible audience. Big Bob Runyon here, I say. I hope your Christmas Eve is turning out as groovy as mine. Now here's Peter, Paul, and Mary with Go Tell It on the Mountain. Caroline crosses her legs, giving me a glimpse of her sleek black boots. I start wondering if she's wearing anything under that coat. No, the days of such surprises are long past. I like watching you work, she says. Not as glamorous as it seems on the other side of the radio, is it? I stand up, wondering how I dared to predict how she would look, as if I had a right to judge. Not that I'm complaining. Rock radio's been good to me. You've been good to it, haven't you? I'm surprised by her statement, but I like it. And I like her, too, even though the appraising way she looks me up and down makes it clear she doesn't want more than conversation. Petite ladies rarely like big men. Sherry taught me that one as well. Yeah, I've been good to it, I said. Gave up my best, and at times my all. I believe that. Her once steady gaze settles into something closer to sadness. Hey now, I say, trying to cheer her up. I know I'm not going to light your fire tonight, and that's okay. I'll put on a long record, and let's just have some bubbly. Do you think that's a good idea? She asked. I think it's a great idea. While you're on the air, no one will know. She sighs. I'd like to, she says. And with that simple statement, I feel blessed. I put on the music and we sit in the announce booth across from each other, drinking the sparkler out of K-Make coffee mugs, using paper towels for coasters. It's lovely, she says. The foam is so thick. I start to tell her it's called Moose by the wine buffs in Napa Valley and then bite my tongue. The smaller the bubbles, the smaller the headache, I mutter. At least that's what I've heard. She looks directly at me with clear, dark eyes. I don't want any more headaches, that's for sure. She's too smart for platitudes, so I don't tell her everything will get better. Instead, I say, it's hell to be alone on Christmas Eve. Again, her woodsy scent fills my nostrils. She grins. Sounds like a song. Maybe you should write it. Sherry was the writer, not I. Worked for an ad agency, but I always thought she could write songs if she'd give it a try. You talk about her a lot. She leans forward and steadies the mug on her cashmere-covered knees. I know, I'm trying not to, but it's still tough. It had to be horrible, walking in on her the way you did in your own bedroom with a friend of yours at that. The fine bubbles feel cool on my tongue. I must have really spilled my guts to this chick. Yeah, it sucked all right. Just like that, the memory washes over me. Sherry calling me on the request line, saying she was in bed with my boss, describing in detail what they were doing. To my horror, my eyes fill with tears. You really loved her, didn't you? Her eyes are wet as well. Still do. I reach for the paper towel and make a fruitless attempt at blowing my nose with dignity. I try to put her down in my head the way she always put me down, but I can't. Caroline stares straight ahead. She didn't care about you. I know. From the moment we got married, she pointed out my obvious failings. I can't believe I'm humiliating myself so thoroughly, but I can't stop talking. Caroline seems to pull the words from me. She cheated for a long time then? Yeah. Even though I wouldn't let myself see what was going on, she did everything she could to let me know. She once told me that our marriage was a war, that it wouldn't be over until one of us... What? I have to stop this before I start bawling the way I have too many nights. I feel like such a wuss laying all my pain on you, I say. Don't. I've been there. Believe me. Your boyfriend cheated too. Worse. She nods and takes a drink. He left me for our biggest client.
Wow, who'd leave a chick like you?
He would, she says. He did. Ran off to Cabo San Lucas with the widow of that guy who built all those theme hotels. Left me with our business, but I don't care about that anymore. I don't care about much right now. I can't tell what she's thinking, and I hope she's not considering some of the options that appealed to me not long ago. Don't blame yourself, Caroline. You just picked the wrong person. I slosh more champagne in my mug and then hand the bottle over to her. And don't be doing anything stupid. If you even think about it, please give me a call day or night. Promise me you will.
You're a good guy, she says. I sensed that on the phone and I can see it now.
She places the bottle in front of her on the floor and stands up with a sigh. And I'm going to leave now.
No surprise there. I've heard the you're a good guy excuse before. I understand, I say, especially considering the ass I made out of myself tonight.
She shakes her head. It has nothing to do with that.
I wish you'd stick around.
Can't, she says. You might talk me out of something. Her eyes are strange, dreamlike now. I know she's already picturing herself out of here, away from me and this pitiful excuse for a radio station. I stand as well. Just remember what I said. Don't do anything stupid. She reaches out and takes both my hands in her cold ones. I won't, she says. I'm going to do something smart. She lets go of my hands, starts through the door, and then pauses. Something really smart, Randy. With that, she closes the door and disappears with a swish of camel cashmere before my window. Randy, my heart threatens to stop. I can barely move back to my chair, but I have to. I have a record running out, and I must respond as only a pro can. Were those some cool tunes or what? Now let's honor the past, starting with that 1957 hit by Gene Autry, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, followed by Man with All the Toys by the Beach Boys, of course. My duty done, and my hopes for even this miserable solitary life crashed. I try to decide what to do next. Before I can, Chip rushes through the door, all long hair, denim, and bluster. Bip Bob, you okay? I can tell from his flushed, fleshy face that he is not.
Sure. I stash my mug under some papers on the console. Are you okay?
I was until I got a weird call tonight, he says. Some detective asking questions about you.
Yeah? I'm frozen, barely able to respond.
What's his name?
Her name, Caroline. Claims she was tracking Randy Evans, that Napa Valley jock who murdered his wife. She thought you might have worked with him.
I stare out of the safety of this place into the wet city night. Caroline just left, I say. Everything's cool. And if it isn't, what do I care anymore? I'll go out the way I started, on the board, playing the hits. He clears his throat.
You heard the story, right? A week or two before Christmas, a couple of years back, Rand the man left a tape on the air while he went home and shot his wife.
Yeah, I've heard several versions of the story, I say. And it wasn't a tape, I think. It was a record.
Me too. And that's what I told that Caroline woman on the phone. Some people claim Randy's wife had been shopping around for someone to help her get rid of her old man permanently.
He's looking at me now with new interest in his eyes. That's right. I force my voice to remain calm, but I remember all over again. The wife and her lover had a gun. When she called Randy on the air, he took off in a blind rage. Once home, he wrestled the gun away from her and it went off. He never meant to kill her. That's one version of the story, the true one.
And Randy could have gotten away with it if his tape hadn't gotten stuck that night.
Chip shakes his head. Feliz Navidad, I say.
Over and over, Randy must have heard it in the car, in the apartment, maybe even while he was, well, you know.
It must have driven him crazy. He stops as if looking at me for the first time. He was a big guy, shaved head, wore thick-rimmed glasses,
a face made for radio, I say, but my laughter is tight. You don't have to lie to me. Chip meets my eyes. I know what's going on here. Sweat breaks out on my forehead. I don't know what you're talking about, man. He glances at the wine bottle on the floor, and beside it one cup stained with lipstick. You know the rules about drinking. And chicks. I swear nothing happened. I put up my right hand. I'm a pro, you know that. Hey, he claps me on the shoulder and actually winks. It's Christmas. Just don't let it happen again. Sorry, man, I say, buddy to buddy. Never again, I promise. Caroline must have tracked me through every frantic stop, every air name, Paul, then Harry, then Dirk, and then Big Bob Runyon. Now, here I am, a man alone, waiting for midnight on a stark, wet Christmas Eve. A man who, since we're being honest here, am not the pro I always thought I was. I reach up, take down the tape from the back of the rack where I stashed it earlier, and settle back in my chair. Somewhere out there in the rain, I know Caroline is listening. Now here's a special tune going out to a very special lady, I say. Feliz Navidad to you, my dear, from the bottom of my heart.
Feliz Navidad is copyrighted by Bonnie Hearn Hill. Music for the podcast was obtained from purpleplanet.com. Mixing and editing were done by Kevin Wheeler and Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.elleryqueenmysterymagazine.com.